ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ, ஸ்ரீ கணேசாய நமஹ. ஸோ வி ஹாவ் அ மெமோரியல் மீட்டிங், ஆஸ் யூ ஆல் நோ, அட் 11:15. பட் பிஃபோர் தட் யூ ஹவ் டு பேர் வித் மீ ஃபார் அன் அவர். அண்ட் திஸ் இஸ் தி ஃபஸ்ட் சண்டே கீதா கிளாஸ். நார்மல்லி வி ஆர் சப்போஸ் டு டூ a verse in the 18th chapter in continuation of the earlier class, the third Sunday class of September, right? But then I made a small change. I will come to that verse later. Presently, in the ongoing course, the 2-week course, I am doing the 14th chapter of Gita, and we are at a point where there is an important discussion about the composition of the human mind. That is the topic. I felt it is a very important topic, and all of you should pay attention to the topic. That is what I felt. Therefore, our 18th chapter continuity, that can wait for 1 week. And so today, I will be doing the 17th verse. And if time permits, the next verse, along with the Shankara Bhashya, from 14th chapter. Uti, which is a chapter in which the three gunas, called qualities, that is how they are translated. So the three qualities of the mind and matter, mind as well as matter, not of Atman. Atman is free from any qualities. These three qualities, the three gunas, they reside in matter outside and also in mind inside. And an understanding of the mind is essential to overcome the obstacles that the mind creates. Therefore, I felt that it will be nice if you join us in the 2-week course that is going on. So we are exploring this mind in terms of the three gunas. So this exploration is going on. And so I thought you will be happy to join that exploration. Is that okay with you? Okay. Now let us say the verse 17th. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam, rajaso lobha evacha, pramada mohau tamasaha, bhavato jnanamevacha. This verse is a kind of summarization of what all we have discussed about the three gunas in the last 1 week. It's a summarization. And therefore, for the students who are doing the course, it is a kind of revisiting what they have studied till now in the last 1 week. And for the other students, it is for them also it's a revisiting because they have studied 14th adhyaya earlier, but maybe revisiting after a long gap. So very interesting verse. It summarizes the three gunas in one go. You see, sattva, rajas and tamas, they are the technical names. You cannot translate sattva. Guna you may translate as quality, but sattva you cannot translate. That's why in English we say sattvic. That is the translation. Rajas is translated as rajasic, along with tadhita pratyaya. Ka is the tadhita pratyaya. Along with that we translate. And tamas is tamasic. Something like atma is atmic. There are such usages. So that is how we translate. But then translation is okay. But what does those words mean? What do those words mean? what is sattva, rajas and tamas? When you say they are the components of this world, of the outer world, so how do they constitute the outer world? So how to recognize sattva, rajas and tamas in the outer world, and then how to recognize them in the mind, in one's own mind? And having recognized, what is it that we have to do about it? So that is the topic, an important topic. So you look around, the matter that you see, the physical matter, so that is called that has its origin in tamoguna. That is how we look at it. Okay? So tamoguna expresses itself as physical matter. You should not think that tamoguna is in heaven and physical matter is here. Not like that. Okay? It is like gold expressing as an ornament. Now, gold is not in heaven. Gold is in the ornament, right? Similarly, tamoguna expresses as matter. Means tamoguna is manifesting as the physical world, as the matter, as the material world. Like you are sitting on the floor, and then the floor is part of the globe. Globe is going round the sun. Not only our earth, a few other planets are going round the sun. They are all solid masses. You have the photograph of Mars and Jupiter. Not only the photo, photograph, but there is also the geology of Mars. It's a special topic in itself. Geology of Mars. There are specialists in NASA who specialize in the geology of Martian surface. So like that. So all this physical world is the manifest tamoguna, tamas it is. Even in the solar orb, in the core, there is hydrogen gas, which is the fuel for this burning globe called the sun. And that hydrogen gas is also a material thing. So in that sense, it is also tamoguna manifest. You have tamoguna all around you, the physical world. But then, the world is not dead matter. We should not look at it as dead matter. Looking at the world as dead matter is part of Newton-Descartes model of the world. They have a model like that. Newton looked at the world as dead matter. And then the French philosopher Descartes, he said, the world is indeed dead matter. The life and the wisdom or the knowledge, they are with God in heaven. So, therefore, God is extra cosmic and cosmos is dead matter. That is the model. We do not subscribe to that model. In fact, we differ with that model. Not only we differ, even the science has moved a lot forward from the days of Newton-Descartes model. So, the matter around you is not dead. It is alive. Not dead. Like Prithvi or other planets, they are always going round and round the sun in their orbits. They are not just like a boulder sitting somewhere. They are very alive. They are throbbing with activity. And that activity that you find in the planets, in the earth, everywhere. And then you look at the atomic world. Atom is not, originally it was thought that atom is a globule sitting there. No, it is not a globule sitting. It is a very active entity. So in the atom there is the nucleus and there are the electrons. The electrons are going round and round and round and round. Like the planets around the sun. Okay, so electrons are active, but maybe the central nucleus is sitting there? Something sitting there? No, it is not sitting there. there are particles inside the nucleus called nucleons. Okay, the nucleons are sitting there maybe. No, they are not sitting. They are going round and round and round and round. So you may not know or you may know, it depends. There are not only orbits of electrons around the nucleus, but within the nucleus, the nucleons are going round and round, and there are orbits for them also. So nothing static in this world. The whole universe is in one gargantuan flux, big flux. That is what the universe is. It is alive. That liveliness of the universe is the manifest rajoguna. Got it? Very simple. Then the universe is not only material and alive, but also intelligent. It's an intelligent universe. So there is a book written by Fred Hoyle, the astronomer, called Intelligent Universe. Astronomer, not astrologer. Astronomer, two different things. So Intelligent Universe. And so he in that book, he presents before us a facet of the universe. So now you are not looking at an active material thing. You are looking at the wisdom of God. That is what you are looking at. As the earth goes round the sun, there is so much intelligence in that movement that we have seasons on the earth and there is life on the earth. But for that intelligence of that movement, the movement is very intelligent, very orderly and structured. It is as if the earth knows what it is doing. So, that intelligence you see in the world is manifest sattva guna. Now you got it? Sattva rajasthamo gunas. They are there in the matter. Now come to your mind. That is the topic here. First I have shown outside, so that now we can look at the mind. Because matter and mind are two antipodes. You cannot talk of them separately. In fact, if you are willing to look at it, there is no matter without mind. And there is no mind without matter. They are always together. When do you have a mind? You are sleeping. No matter, no mind. And when do you have a mind in the first time? When do you have a mind? When you come out from sleep and become aware of the world around, that is when you have a mind. And when the world is in place, when is the world in place? When you come out of your sleep and start cognizing, then the world is in place. The matter depends upon the mind depends upon the matter, and the matter depends upon the mind. It is like North Pole and South Pole of a magnet. You cannot have them separately. Suppose I am fed up with this South Pole and take the magnet and break it in the middle. I can do that and throw away the South Pole out of the window. Now I should have North Pole in my hand and South Pole outside the window. No, you will not have it like that. You know, just I am reminding you, I still have North Pole and South Pole. And outside, there you have South Pole and North Pole. You cannot have North Pole without South Pole, and vice versa. Matter and mind are like that. This is called Drishti Srishti Vada, an element of Drishti Srishti Vada in philosophy. Therefore, having understood something about the matter, how rishis looked at it. I told you how Newton looked at it. I respect Newton. Don't think that I am denigrating Newton. Newton is a rishi. But what he looked at, I am telling you. So, he looked at the matter as a dead matter. because that is how he postulated his laws of motion, law 1, 2, 3. So he talks of matter at rest, and then he talks of matter in motion, and then action reaction. That is how he looks at the whole blessed thing. He doesn't look at it as alive and aware. Those elements are not there in that. Anyway, whereas the rishis, they looked at the, Newton is also a rishi for that matter. They looked at the universe not as simple dead matter. They looked at it something more than dead matter. That's why they have come out with this model of sattva-rajas-tamo-gunas. All the three are in the world. Then interestingly, what is outside is inside. Did you hear that? What is outside is inside, and what is inside is outside. And that is the law. So, therefore, the three gunas are inside. Inside doesn't mean body. Body is matter. I have put the body into physical world already. It is gone into the physical world. It is not put inside. Body is not inside. Body is made up of the physical world, and it is the entire physiology is an integral part of the material world. You do not have a right to say, my body. That is false and wrong. You should only say, the nature's body. Because body is born from the nature, sustained by the nature, and the nature takes the body back into itself. Therefore, body is not my body. Body is body and nature's body. Therefore, when I say inside, it doesn't mean liver, heart, spleen and all those things. That is all matter. What I mean is mind. That is the inside. Look at the mind. It is subtle. Outer thing is a gross. Whereas inner is subtle. But still the same. Sattva-rajas-tamo-gunas. Like you wake up and you feel dull and you feel a bit inactive. That is tamoguna. Then you put the Colgate toothpaste in the mouth and become suddenly active. This is Colgate commercial. Colgate commercial. So he is inactive and takes a little paste and puts it on the brush. That also he is doing it in a very like a zombie he is doing, because he is inactive. And then he takes like a zombie and put it in the mouth. Till then he is inactive. Once the toothpaste touches the mouth inside, suddenly he comes alive. And now he is very active. A commercial, the point is, if not after toothpaste, at least after a cup of coffee, you are certainly active. That is rajoguna in you. The activity comes from the mind. It expresses in the limbs, but comes from the mind. That is rajoguna. And not only you are active, the mind, but also you cognize a few things. You may not study shastras and all that. That is a further thing. But you cognize this is a part. You call it knowledge also. Gata jnanam. That means the process of cognition, the faculty of cognition is manifest sattva. These three are in you. They are there in you. Now we are looking at these three gunas manifesting in multiple ways in the mind. And you have to understand that. Why? Because the mind understood will pave the way for the knowledge of the truth. Truth liberates. Falsehood binds. Mind is the key. Key, you know, the key. The key can lock you out and you are deprived of the wealth that is within the building. Or the key can allow you in and now the entire wealth is before you. That is what you call key. And so mind is the key. Mind can lock you out from what is inside you, or in fact, from your real self. It just locks you out, the mind. And now the mind, the key that you, that has locked you out, can allow you in also. The same key, you don't need a different key. The same key, and that is the mind. So, the mind not understood. And then you find yourself a slave to the mind. Don't mind my using such words. Just be, they are good words, they are meant that way. How dare you call me a slave? Don't go into that kind of a mode and all that. Just go along with it. So, I could use another word also, but just now I used, that's why I did not use it. I could say you are locked up in your mind. Then you may not understand it the right way, because just now I talk of key, lock, and all that. That's why I said the slave, some other word. So, you are entangled or ensnared in your mind, remaining a slave to the mind. Only because you do not know the mind correctly. You don't know what the mind is. So, therefore, you learn to know the mind. The mind is the composite of sattva, rajas, tamo, gunas. And how they are operating in you? Sattva sanjayate jnanam. Jnanam, it means many things in many contexts. So jnanam is not atma jnanam. Okay? It has nothing to do with Satchidananda Atma or any such thing. Satchidananda Atma Jnanam won't come from sattva. It comes from a different, it is a different thing altogether. Sattva is the mind, you know. So, sattvat sanjayate jnanam. Suppose I say, this is path, and I know it. All because of the glory of sattva. Now, it doesn't sound like glory, right? This is path. What is so glory about it? Still it is sattva. So, jnanam is the clarity of understanding. That is sattva. That comes from sattva. Assuming that you have some such thing, that comes from sattva. Let us assume like that, that you have clarity of understanding. So God bless you, that comes from sattva. Then, it's okay, that is very nice to hear that. Then what the next one, you have to be a bit wary. Like rajaso lobha evacha. You may want to say the verse with me. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobha evacha pramada mohau tamasah bhavato jnanam evacha. Shankaras avatarika. Shankaras says kincha gunebhyo bhavati. So kincha and also gunebhyo bhavati. From these gunas, the following things happen. What happens because these gunas are there in the mind? Okay, they are in the mind. What happens? So sattvat sanjayate jnanam. From sattva guna happens. Sanjayate means is born. Is born means happens. What? Jnanam, clarity of understanding. So, don't think that it is not that easy. Clarity of understanding is not easy. It is a very big thing. Say for example, shall I give you an example? Don't you mind? Okay? Suppose you say, this is my wealth, my riches. I would say, you don't have clarity of understanding. It is like that. Suppose you say, he is my son. I would say, you need a dose of sattva urgently. Because you are missing it. Because he is not your son. He is God's son. You did not bring him into this world. He came into this world by the will of higher power through you. You see, that is clarity of understanding. Very big thing it is. you don't find it. The poet said, common sense is such a rare entity, like that. Like that, clarity of understanding, oh, this is a cup and this is a lid, that is not the clarity of understanding we are talking about. In fact, I would say this is neither the cup nor that is the lid. You know, murtiketyeva satyam, you are just imagining. Therefore, clarity of understanding is a very big thing. So, you look for it. Don't assume that you have it. For God's sake, don't say, I know. Don't say that. You should not say. It is not becoming of students of Vedanta to say, I know. You should not say. So, you just keep an open mind. Don't conclude that I know. Because you don't know. You give me that freedom to say that. So, therefore, keep an open mind. If you say, I know, I have to say, you don't know. I means not I, somebody else will have to say, you don't know. Therefore, don't say, I know. Therefore, you don't give the opportunity to the other person to say, you don't know. So, keep an open mind, which is not easy. But that is sattva, clarity of understanding, sattva. A child is about to say something, you listen carefully. You can learn a lot. So, I said against. The child said, Swamiji, not against, against. I learned a good point there. So, anyways, that is the openness of mind. So, clarity of understanding, very difficult to get. Very difficult. You show me a person with clarity of understanding, I will show you a person who has already a jivan mukta, a realized soul, or it's only a matter of time. He will be a jivan mukta soon. Very big thing it is. Anyway, then rajaso lobha evacha. The rajoguna, it manifests as lobha. Rajasaha panchami ekavachanam. Panchami is always prakruti, janikartuh prakruti hi, means the stuff. So, the material of which lobha happens, the material cause, what we call upadana, that is the panchami. That's why you have everywhere panchami vibhaktis. So, tamas is here, manifesting as lobha. Lobha is greed. That is the greed. So, you look into your mind. You see, here I would say, I say it often, I must have said quite a few times, but let me say one more time. This whole study of Gita, it should not be in the form of the process of ideation. Like what? So, there is sattva-guna, that is jnanam, and then there is a thing called rajoguna, that leads to, that expresses as lobha. This is called ideation. You are forming nice ideas. Suppose somebody asks, lobha from where? From rajas, you say. Like general knowledge question. So this is called ideation. Most of the people study Vedanta like that only. Study of Vedanta, alas, has become a process of ideation. Now you know, you have all the wonderful ideas. What is Atma? You know. You have an idea about Atma. You know Brahma. Of course I know Brahma. You know Brahma Jagat Karanam. As if just now you have seen Jagat coming out of Brahma and came here. It's an idea. Wonderful idea. All ideas are sitting here. But the man is the person is a bag of bones. 206 of them. That is what he is. The process of ideation is not going to help. This statement is particularly important in the context of this verse. You don't read the printed book. You don't read what Sri Krishna said. Sri Krishna said many good things. That is not what you are reading. You are reading the book of your mind. That is what you have to do. That is not ideation. That is real learning. In ideation, there is no learning. In ideation, you pick up ideas. It is something like you take a bag and go around and pick up things and put in that bag. Like what we do in Walmart. So take a bag, a very beautiful cart-like thing, and pull things and put in that. That is what you do. It is called accumulation. You accumulate things. Of course, you have to pay also, but you accumulate. The same thing we do with the bag called intellect. Intellect is a bag. You know what kind of bag it is? It is an expanding bag. There are such bags. So you put some more, it will expand. Put some more, it will expand. Put some more, it will expand. That kind of a bag it is. That is the intellect. You go on putting. Sattva, first time I am hearing, what is this sattva? Sattva gives understanding. Okay, put it in that bag. Lobha, the greed that you have. So what is this rajas word? This is the manifest lobha. Rajas manifests as lobha. Oh, interesting. So there is a thing called rajoguna which manifests as lobha. This is another thing, put in the intellect. So this is what is called, you see, I am not ridiculing. I am not joking. I am seeing, if you will. This is what people do. So now they know what is rajas, what is tamas and what is sattva. It is there in the intellect, sitting in the intellect, like the goodies in the bag. This is called the process of ideation. And therefore, we have all right ideas, but of no use whatsoever. The person is a bag of bones. Okay, if not a bag of bones, then a bundle of emotions, if you will. It makes no big difference. Therefore, don't convert the whole blessed thing into a process of ideation. That is not study of Vedanta. At best, you will become a scholar of Vedanta, not a wise person. So what is that we want to become? One more scholarship or wisdom? What is that? So, therefore, you are reading the book of mind. So, you look at your mind and see the clarity of understanding that is there or not there. And that is sattva. If it is there, God bless. If it is not there, you have to work for it, it will come. Mind you can transform. That is what the mind is. Like a putty, you can transform. That is what the mind is. You can build the mind. Annamaya gumhi somya manaha, Chandragya Upanishad. The food that you eat manufactures the mind that you have. Annamaya it is. Therefore, eat sattvic food, your mind will have more sattva in it. So you can manufacture the mind. That is what we do for the children. They feed nutritious food to the children. And the children grow into intelligent boys and girls and do well in colleges and the schools. Whereas, from a poor background, they eat some silly food, not nutritious food, and therefore, they grow into mediocre kids. It depends upon the food. So, very real. Anyway, so you are looking at the mind so that an understanding of the mind will help you to improve the mind. And by improving the mind will stop locking you up in samsara. It will open the doors for the reality or the truth that is in you. Or even better, that is yourself. Therefore, you are looking at the mind in that sense, not the process of ideation. And so, rajaso lobha evacha. Lobha is the greed. People, children are very greedy. So, you put a box of chocolates there. How many chocolates a child can eat? One. But it pulls the entire box towards itself. Lobha, greed. And then if another child is trying to take the chocolate, this child will cry. I am not saying some unworthy things about children. That is not what I am doing. Please don't interpret the whole thing like that. Don't end up saying, Swami, TV doesn't like children. That is, you missed the whole point. I can only say that much. I am not talking about how should we treat children, with love you have to treat children, we have to give children. That is not the topic I am talking about. What I do with children is my personal matter. Don't bother about it. Try to see what I am trying to say. The children are greedy. Not only the children are greedy, the grown-ups are even more greedy. That is what I am trying to say. I am just giving a build-up. I am not saying anything about children. Only thing is, they are not greedy of chocolates. They leave the chocolates box there. Elders, they leave it on the table and walk away. But they don't leave the jewelry box like that, I tell you. They put it in a safe and lock it, and then one more lock, and then that key, that key ring put here. Very, very firmly. People are very greedy. They are greedy. They go to God and show all that greed. And they go to Guru and with greed only again. They are very greedy. Acquisitive. Are you acquisitive or not? It is not about grahastha or sannyasi. Are you acquisitive or not? So, Thanksgiving weekend, Black Friday, what is all that? It is the gross acquisitiveness on display. Sannyasis are no exception. It is not about sannyasi or grahastha. Fortunately or unfortunately, the whole blessed thing is not about sannyasi or grahastha. It is about the mind and the greed sitting there. Sannyasi could be acquisitive of malas, of books, etc. So, acquisitiveness is lobha, also called parigraha. So, Patanjali, he puts aparigraha as one of the yamas. Yama is ethic, niyama is moral. The personal ethics and the interactive morals, that is the difference. And so one of the ethics that I have to follow in my heart, in myself, that is non-acquisitiveness, aparigraha. So parigraha is acquisitive, very greedy. So that greed is the manifest rajoguna, and it is sitting in our hearts. So we have to address it. So Shankara, sattvat labdhatmakat sanjayate samutpadyate jnanam. So this is a Gita Bhashya. It looks very deceptively simple. So sattvat he puts labdhatmakat, but rajasaha he doesn't put that. Because for rajas you need not make any effort. It is coming from the childhood, I told you. The greed of the chocolates. So rajas is always there. Tamas is always there. You have to make sattva happen. Labdhatmakat. Means it finds itself in your heart. That is called labdhatmakat. Sattva finds its ground in your heart. It doesn't happen by itself. You have to make it happen. So, there are a few steps how to make it happen. You eat sattvic food, keep sattvic company, stay in sattvic place, use sattvic time for your sadhana, chant sattvic mantra, maintain sattvic sangha, friendship and all that, company, And so like that a few things are there. That is how you have to create sattva. It is like the place is clean only if you have cleaned it earlier. Otherwise it will be dirty. Left to itself, it remains dirty. When you clean it is now clean. That is sattva. So that's why labdhatmakat. It has found its ground in your heart. If that is the sattva, then from that sattva arises the clarity of understanding, jnanam. You see things clearly, very clearly, like daylight. Suppose it is daylight. How do I see? This is the table, this is the paper, this is the cup, and this is the book, this is the amplifier, and so I see them clearly. Suppose it is dark or semi-dark. Dark means I don't see anything. Semi-dark means I see somehow, but not clear what it is. I see something there. It could be anything. I am not clear about it. Something is there. That is semi-dark. And then you don't see anything. That is dark. See how big a difference between light and darkness, how big a difference it makes in our cognitions, the way we understand things around. The light makes, the daylight makes a tremendous difference. And the clarity of understanding inside, it is like daylight that you have around you. It is like daylight. Everything appears like in daylight. Everything you see clearly. There is no confusion. Am I confused? Is this a flask? Am I confused? Or have I any doubt? Is this a flask or something else? No confusion, no doubt. Clarity of understanding. Generally, when you have clarity of understanding, you will remain simple and innocent. They go together. People are very simple and innocent because of the clarity of understanding. They go together. People are very clever and crafty, manipulative because of the rajoguna. Therefore, rajaso lobha evacha. So, Shankara, rajaso lobha evacha. He did not add anything to that. Only conspicuously, labdhatmakat is absent. That means it is always there. Unless you take the precaution, it will be sitting in your heart, that rajoguna. And that makes us very acquisitive, greedy, seeking more and more and more. It never ends. So that is the rajoguna. And you have to get rid of it. So how to get rid of it? It's not that you shake off or any such thing. So what you have to do is, when you are free, or you are going in a car, somebody else is driving, not while you are driving, when somebody else is driving, or you are going in a bus or a train or in a flight, so you look at your mind. You start reading your mind. Don't convert the whole thing into a process of ideation and then leave it there. That is not the right thing to do. You don't get anything out of it. Look at the mind. Now, is there the acquisitive spirit? Yes, it is. For example, I myself look at my mind. While going to India, I try to acquire some silly things like tea bags, toothbrush. So why should I acquire these silly things? Because the flight people allow me two bags, and each bag he says 20 kg. So I cannot put 20 kg in it because I will not be able to lift it also. So let me put some 10-12 kg material. Now what are the 10-12 kg material? Some tea bags and some peanut butter. Peanut what it is? Butter only? Peanut butter? Yeah, because in India peanut butter either you don't get it or it, you cannot put it in your mouth. I tried one time. So put two bottles. Why not one? No, greed. Some more. I can eat all of it. One, it is over. One more. This is the acquisitiveness. I have it in me. I see it. Now, if that is the acquisitiveness, then what people do, then what is it? It is. It is mega acquisitiveness. So, people have it in them. Why not acquire? we have money in the bank and credit card is there, plastic you show you get, why not acquire? So you should not. You know why? Because what you acquire will influence you. It will influence you. To put it in Ramana Maharshi's words, what you acquire, not only it is sitting outside, but also it is sitting in your heart. The car that you acquire, if it is some simple car which is used to go around, you don't even pay attention to that. See, a person, I went to a place in India with a person on a scooter. He drives it and I sat behind. And we went. And then we went to a place. And so he parked it outside. We parked it on the roadside. And so we are going and say, he did not lock it. I said, you did not lock it. He said, not necessary. I lost the lock. And I don't lock. No, somebody may drive it and let them take. It is such a useless scooter, let them take. So unless I tell him you did not lock, it did not occur to him that he did not lock. Because the blessed thing stopped having any influence upon him. It doesn't have any influence upon him. It doesn't impact his mindset. Suppose you imagine he has a new model of scooter, some Harley, something like that, a motorbike, which is bought, which is a very fashionable thing, and which is imported in India. Imported means very big thing it is. And he spent 150,000 rupees on it, almost like a car. And that it is very majestic to drive it, and we go there. Then he will lock it, and then see who else is around. And he doesn't come in quickly, because he has to assure himself that the motorcycle is in a safe position. So he will say, you go inside, I will be coming from behind you. Like that he will say. It impacts. It influences. Anything that you hold on to, it will influence you. You purchase a diamond ring, it will influence you. It will make you anxious. And you pile up riches that will make you, you are already greedy in doing so, and then you become anxious and frightened and worried to no end. So, therefore, they will impact you. They will not allow you any peace of mind. And the whole acquisitive thing, so it will hold you back. It becomes, to put it bluntly, a noose around the neck. Therefore, for God's sake, examine this acquisitiveness. You need not take things and throw on the road. That is not what I am suggesting. You examine this acquisitiveness. So what is it? It is sitting there. So you ask this question while you are alone, traveling, and you don't have anything else to do. You ask this question. Why the mind is, don't say I, because you are not your mind. So look at the mind. So why the mind is seeking more? You ask that question. You look at the mind and ask, why is this mind seeking more all the time? You ask that question. You watch it, observe it, inquire into it, investigate it, look at it, and be with it. And slowly a transformation will happen. You try and see. You will stop acquiring. In fact, you will be walking by the side of a JCPenney or Nordstrom, whatever, without batting an eyelid. It doesn't even occur to you that you have to pick up something. Because, really speaking, you don't need anything. You have everything. You don't need anything. No, I need a shirt. It will happen. Don't worry. When you really need a shirt, you will go and pick up a shirt. That is not the point. I am not saying anything against it. So you don't need a Banana Republic suit. That is what I am saying. So you need a shirt which you already have. So you have to examine why more? Why more? Why the mind is seeking more? What happened to this mind? What is this acquisitiveness in the mind? You examine. Some people acquire books. They will be acquiring books. Go to Amazon.com and second-hand books, plenty of them are available. For a small price you can get. The shipping price you have to take care. There are ways to take care of that also. Order 5 or 6 of them together, the shipping will be free. And so acquire books. You never read any of them. Just acquire. Go on acquiring. That is another manifestation of the Rajoguna in the form of acquisitiveness. So, like that, I knew one Mahatma. So he asks me books. Swamiji, this new book has come, please give it to me. I used to give. And after a while I noticed that he is not reading any of that. He is just acquiring. So next time he asked me, Swamiji, new book has come, you give. I said, I won't give. Why? I want the book. You go to the market and pay the money and purchase it. At least then you will read it. Now I am giving and you are putting there. You are not reading. How do you know? I know it. I have observed a few times. That's why I am saying, now I am not giving. Are you sure? Yes, I am not giving. Do one thing. Already I have given you a few books, read them. And then for a change, go to the market. It is available there. In such and such a shop, this book is put for sale. And take it from there. And that will impel you to read. So, like that, some people, they seem to be harmless. They are harmless. But in a way, a few such things together makes us locked up within the mind. The Rajoguna, it doesn't allow the sattva to come to fore. It will hold you back. Then tamasaha. Tamas is the worst of all. That's why the verse also says, three things happen from tamas. Tamasaha, panchame ekavachanam. So tamas manifests into three things. The first one is ajnanam. So it is put at the end, but vamatogatihi. You read it from the right side to left side. So first thing is ajnanam. Ajnanam is ignorance, not innocence. Innocence is divine, whereas ignorance is deadly. So ignorance, tamoguna, it covers up. It will not give you a chance to know. For example, wealth. What is its value in life? How does it help me? How does it bind me? That is a point to investigate and find, right? Now, tamoguna will not give you any such chance. It just keeps you blind and therefore bound to the wealth. And ignorance, how ignorance operates, you know, when you purchase a cigarette packet, it is two bones and one skull is printed, and below it is written, smoking is injurious to health. That was what it was written earlier. Nowadays they write, smoking kills. That is how they are writing. Now you cannot write any harsher than that. And so he reads all that, he sees all that, and then opens the packet and smokes. So ajnana will not allow you to see clearly. It keeps you blind. In spite of looking at things, you do not look at anything. That is ajnana. And that's why in Alcoholics Anonymous, they have a regimen to make the person free from the addiction. So one important aspect of that regimen is, the entire biochemistry of alcohol they teach there. Biochemistry, in the sense, when you put alcohol into the system, how does it gets metabolized? So, for example, alcohol is oxidized into acetic acid, and any small amount of methanol that is present in it becomes formic acid. Formic acid right away finds its way into the eyes, and it makes the retina, it impacts the retina, and the person becomes blind. So alcoholics become blind soon. They get blindness soon. So like that, they teach the entire chemistry, metabolism that is happening, the biochemistry of alcohol inside the body. They teach it. And they make them see what they are putting into their mouth. They make them see. And that is the first lesson after every day. Morning, they will have one session, evening one session So the study sessions will be there, and they are given maximum importance in the entire process of de-addiction. So it is the jnanam which pulls you out of addiction. Addiction is a bondage. It is jnanam which pulls you out. A few other things will be there, but primarily it is the jnanam. Suppose the jnanam is replaced by ajnanam, the opposite of jnanam is ajnanam. So when you are in ajnana, you are a lost case. You don't have any chance of redemption. And that ajnana, not knowing the thing, not having any idea, correct idea, that is the ajnana. And so the ajnana is so dangerous, it makes you think that you know. That is ajnana. The person who says, I know, that is ajnana. The fact that he could say, I know, makes him into an ajnani. So ajnana is very dangerous. And this ajnana, it further leads to, which means tamas leads to, ajnana leading or tamas leading. So it leads to moha. Moha is a delusion. So you don't know. And then you imagine all kinds of things. You don't know. For example, I tell you, a person is telling me, the rice, it is like jasmine flowers, white. I like it. That is what he told me. And immediately I told him, you don't know. He asked, what is it that I don't know? Rice, white like jasmine flowers. We say like that, an expression in Telugu. So jasmine flowers, you know, white. Like that white basmati rice, white, shining white, like jasmine flowers. And it goes well with the curry of eggplant and all that. So like that, he is saying, I said, you don't know. He told me, what is it that I don't know? You don't know anything. Because that rice will make you sick. Its glycemic index is so high, you are hitting the liver with bullets by eating that rice. No, it looks good. That is called ajnana. Ajnana leads to moha, delusion. Ice cream, cone. Cone is this big, but the above that is this big. Very attractive. And it has three colors, like three strands. One is red, another is green, another is yellow. Three strands. What an attractive piece it is. Ajnana, pa, it is all ajnana, which is manifesting as moha, delusion. You do not know what is the right food to eat, and you do not know what is the right way to talk and silence. Talking and silence, which is good for me. People think that talking is good. You talk and you influence and you network and you interact, this, that. You become sick. Moha, delusion. The objects of the world have happiness in them to give to us. Delusion. And then pramada, inadvertence. Inadvertence means you go. You don't pay attention to your ignorance. You don't pay attention to your delusion. You don't even make any effort to get rid of them. This is how tamoguna binds. Therefore, we have to look at the composition of the mind. We have to watch it and examine it and recognize the ajnana. Be humble. Don't be arrogant. Don't think I know. You don't know, I tell you. Be humble in heart and watch the mind. Be open. Ano yantu kratavo vishvataha. Ano bhadrah kratavo yantu vishvataha. Like that mantra, Rigveda mantra. Good thoughts, noble thoughts, may they come into us all the time from all sides. Be like that. So be open and look at your mind, examine its seeking of more. Why is it seeking more and more and more? And don't be inadvertent. Pay full attention to your mind, not to your neighbors, to your mind. What is going on there? You don't need it. What is going on within you? You need it. So you examine it. You understand the mind, your mind, not somebody else's mind. That is unnecessary. So it is harmful also. You understand your mind, your bondage comes to an end, and you will be liberated. You are Brahman. Even as you sit now and here, you are Brahman. But unfortunately, locked up within the mind, which is another name for samsara. Therefore, as you become clear about the mind, you become clear of the bondage of the mind. Therefore, this verse provides an opportunity to understand the mind in its composition and all that. Thank you for your attention. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.